You're listening to the StoryCorps podcast. StoryCorps is a nonprofit supported by donations from listeners like you. Help keep us going. Donate now at StoryCorps.org.
Hi, and welcome to the podcast. Before we get to this week's story, we wanted to share a conversation from veteran NPR reporter Daniel Shore, who died last Friday, July 23rd. He was 93. By the end of his life, Daniel Shore had been in the news business for over 70 years. And as a reporter, he asked questions for decades. Then one day, his son Jonathan turned the tables on him. Jonathan interviewed his father in 2009 for StoryCorps' National Day of Listening, which is basically do-it-yourself StoryCorps, where we ask people to interview a friend or loved one on the day after Thanksgiving. And in November of last year, Weekend Edition broadcast part of the Shore's interview. So today, as a tribute to Daniel Shore's life, we'll hear that conversation. Daniel grew up during the Great Depression, and Jonathan wanted to know if his father's money-saving habits started early.
You're picking on a sensitive subject, sensitive between your mother and me, because because she doesn't have this hang-up. I cannot pass a room with a light on in it if nobody is in that room without going in to turn it off. I practically follow your mother around sometimes in the course of the evening as she goes from place to place turning on lights, and I go from place to place turning out lights. It made a deep and engraved impression on me way back then that one didn't waste things, and you certainly didn't waste electricity, because we could hardly afford to have it, yes.
So the thing that's fascinating is that you would think that the result of that would be that you would be really concerned about keeping your job. But
and I am.
The reverse is true. Well, but you've never been afraid to stand on principle if it meant losing your job.
I know that, but after I did it, oh, my God, what have I done now?
But you've done it again and again. I mean, you stood up to the heads of CBS and of CNN, and you're actually known as somebody who is quite fearless on that point. And I'm just curious how those two things reconcile themselves.
They don't reconcile themselves very well. It really is true that I will sometimes stand up for principle at the risk of my job. It is also true that when I lose my job, I get terribly nervous.
I remember pretty clearly, and I think I must have been about 9 at the time that you had this congressional report on the CIA.
Yeah.
The report had been given to you and then had been reclassified, and you made a decision to publish it. The House Ethics Committee was debating whether to send you to jail for this. CBS fired and unfired you. It was a pretty scary time.
And there was more than, even more than that. There were also these super patriots who called up and left messages saying they were going to waste me, and we've got to worry about you and Lisa walking to school. Yeah, it was a scary time.
Did you always know through all of that that everything was going to come out okay?
No, I didn't. I can recall the episode before I appeared before the House Ethics Committee. My lawyer at the time, Joe Califanos, said, Dan, you better get ready. They may cite you for contempt, which can bring you a couple of years in jail and a $100,000 fine. And I gulped and I said, I guess I'm ready for it. But who's ever really ready for the prospect of going to jail for a principal?
I want to cut to 1966 or so. In 1 year, just before you turned 50, you went from foreign correspondent living out of European hotels for decades at that point, covering some of the great capitals of Europe and so on, to becoming a married, homeowning father in Washington, D.C. And all those changes happened in the course of a year. Did something change in 1966?
Let me say that something must have changed, but it's very difficult for me to spot exactly what where the change was. I did not know when I met your mother that this was going to be different. I only knew that at one point on one evening when she had cooked dinner and cooked liver, which I like very much, and this may sound funny, but I did. I fell to my knees and I said, anybody who can cook liver like that, will you marry me? And then all of a sudden, within a few months, bang, 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 I own a house, I'm working on a book, and I'm going to marry Lee Bamberger.
So you've been doing this now for, what, about 70 years?
Let's see. If I'm now 93 and started somewhere at 18, something more than 70 years, yeah.
It seemed like when we got to talking about having this, was I right in sensing that you were pretty excited about doing this?
Yes. Excited, and shall I admit to you also a little nervous?
Sure. I mean, I was too.
I mean, that it's very funny. My dear son, who's very close to me, why should I be nervous? The answer is because it's a totally new experience. I've done, I don't know how many million interviews that I have done, but the idea that my own son is sitting there in front of the microphone and is going to ask me questions, boy, I better have some good answers. This goes to the heart of who I am and who you are. And so it was a kind of a new dimension of interview, and I was excited.
Well, this has actually been really fun, and very much looking forward to seeing you in at Thanksgiving, Dad.
Your mother and I very much look forward to your coming for Thanksgiving. Well, this is really something for us to look forward to.
That's the late Daniel Shore with his son, Jonathan. And now, this week's story. Tom Davis grew up in Pensacola, Florida, enjoying everything the seaside town has to offer. But in the summer of 2000, when he was 21, a surfing accident left him paralyzed from the neck down. Tom recently sat down with his parents, Connie and Robert, to talk about what has kept him going since the injury.
One day, the surf was up out at the beach, so I caught a wave and was gliding down the face and went up to do a trick. I timed it wrong and went headfirst into about a foot and a half of water. I had a loud ringing in my ears, and I couldn't move and I couldn't breathe. And I realized that my neck was broken. I thought, this can't be it. I can't just die. My body just went limp. I was dead, they think, for about 15 minutes before I was resuscitated.
We prayed and prayed for a miracle, and the miracle of him walking and moving again never happened, but we do realize he should have been brain damaged, and he's not any more than he was before. But
yeah, that's debatable, right? You know, I went from being so active and a type A personality, and I was always go, 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 and then all of a sudden it's just, you know, my life came to a screeching halt. Now I'm completely reliant on others. Every night, you guys stretch my muscles and move my joints around. And then in order to have a bowel movement, stick a suppository in my rectum. And that was tough at first, but now, Mom, as you always say,
routine maintenance.
Yeah, routine maintenance. I don't think we would have laughed this hard if it weren't for my injury. I can credit my lack of depression to you guys, but the only regret I think that I have in life is not getting closer to you before my injury, because I was always out with my friends and Dad, I don't think you realize how highly I think of you. I mean, I look at you and you make me want to be a better man.
Well, I'd like to think that I'm not doing anything different than any other father would do.
Mom, you don't make me want to be a better woman. But I love you, and I don't know what I'd do without you. I remember thinking when I first got hurt that I didn't want to live like this. But I think with parents like you and the support that I have, I still have a life.
Tom Davis, with his parents, Connie and Robert, in Pensacola, Florida. See photos of the Davises, including one of Tom before the accident, on our website, storycorps.org. While you're there, you can hear hundreds of other stories. Before we say goodbye, just a reminder that StoryCorps has been selected for a contest from American Express called Members Project. Here's how it works. You vote for your favorite nonprofit, and the nonprofit that gets the most votes wins $200,000. We still need your votes, and you can vote every week through the end of August. So please go to membersproject.com and pick us. For the StoryCorps podcast, I'm Nadia Raymond. Thanks for listening.
Major support for StoryCorps comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. All StoryCorps interviews are housed at the American Folklife Center at the Library of Congress. And you can hear StoryCorps on NPR's Morning Edition and on Latino USA with Maria Hinojosa. Learn more about the project, including how to make a reservation for your own interview, at StoryCorps.org.